for that presentation.
Thank you.
So if you have a question for Mike, do put up your hand and I'll come around with the microphone. And while you're thinking of that question, just remind you, we do take a free will offering for those that wish to contribute to the ministry. And we'll have two folks come around to do that. But if you have a question, put up your hand. I'll bring the mic to you.
Okay. Yeah, while he's waiting, I have something. We have over 70 videos, 30-minute videos on our website for free. And we've interviewed scientists. Sometimes I do the whole lecture. We have a brand new one coming out next week. It's only 6 minutes long. It's called Why Do We Celebrate July 4th? It's a very powerful talk about the history, and it also is a great prayer for this country and a lot of good music behind it. A lot of graphics in there, 6 minutes long coming out.
And the website is up there on the screen, so you can avail yourself of that.
Okay. I'll ask a question if nobody has one. Okay, serious question. If you can't answer it, you don't get to leave tonight. Did Adam have a belly button? Wait a minute. What is a belly button? Leftover scar from being attached to the umbilical cord. Was Adam attached to the umbilical cord? No. But we only see it from the outside. From the inside, there's a lot of things to attach there. So did he have a belly button? We don't know.
How did you become a creationist?
How did I become a creationist? Okay. How do you know I'm one? Big assumption. I grew up a non-believer. I was an evolutionist. I did not become a Christian until I was 30 years old. I'm an example of what you call a slow learner. I also used to be an athlete. Notice the words used to be. Here is an example of the second law of thermodynamics. Who laughed the hardest here? Yes. One day I was in a gymnasium lifting weights. You have to lift weights. If you want to run around circles faster, throw things further, and jump higher. I used to run the decathlon internationally. And now everybody tells me a girl beat me. His name used to be Bruce Jenner. Sad, isn't it? But I was in that gymnasium that day lifting weights, and a man came up and sat down beside me. And for the first time in my life, somebody presented the gospel to me. Then he asked me some questions. I answered all his questions wrong and ignored everything he had to tell me because I had no room in my life for God then. 7 years after that, I was on a business trip going to Indianapolis. I was at computers at the time. I got done work late one evening, got back to the hotel room, got in bed. And as I lay there that night, I finally understood the message that man gave me 7 years earlier. And that's the night I got on my knees and professed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. After a while, I got back in bed and I still could not go to sleep. I had a strong desire to teach the book of Genesis, which I had not even read yet. So I reached in the drawer in that hotel room, pulled out the Bible. Yeah, thank goodness for the Gideons, right? Yes. Because if it hadn't been there, it might have changed my life the wrong way. I began reading Genesis chapter 1. And I was reading through that chapter, I thought to myself, if I can't believe or trust what's in that first chapter, there's no reason to read the rest of the Bible. Or some of what I was taught in universities may not be true. So I had the opportunity to travel all over this country, and I'd stop and talk to these professors and other scientists, ask them basic questions about evolution. I soon found a pattern to their answers. They all had a lot of wonderful stories, but not one of them could directly answer my questions. And I thought, well, here's these people that tower above me in intelligence, and they can't answer my questions about evolution? So why should I believe in evolution? Because as I read the Bible, I found answers. But I found something else in the Bible that evolution can offer nobody. That's hope. For the first time in my life, I had hope. Now, several years ago, my wife and I were on a six-week speaking tour throughout the Southeast. 6 weeks, every day, one or more churches or Christian schools. And we stopped in one place in Jacksonville, Florida. And that night, we were staying with the pastor.
And after we got there, I sat across from this pastor. We began talking about the Bible and we talked about creation. Then we started talking about some other things we had done. We found out we had both been United States Marine Corps. And once you find that out, you have an instant bond. So we began to reminisce about what we had done in the Corps. We found out we had both been stationed at Quantico, Virginia, large Marine Corps training base. So we talked about that. Then we found out we had both been stationed at Yuma, Arizona, small Marine Corps air and missile base. So we reminisced some things from there. And we kept talking and talking, and all of a sudden, he sat back in his chair and he stopped talking. And he looked right at me. And then he said this, "I remember you. You remember me. 27 years ago, in a gymnasium, I gave you the gospel presentation." That man did what he was supposed to do, and what each and every one of us sitting here this evening is commanded to do. Go out and give the truth. Don't worry about changing anybody's lives. We can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Doesn't that make it easier? Just teach the truth. But we can't do that if we don't know it. Let's do what the Bible tells us. Have a defense. Have an answer for the hope that's within us. Bring down those strongholds. Because what's at stake, folks, is where's the next generation going to spend their eternity? Thank you very, very much tonight, and God bless all of you.
Okay. Okay, some questions? There's got to be a few hard questions.
I've got a lot more questions.
Okay.
I thought I was escaping.
That gentleman that you talked to that challenged you, the evolutionist, and you destroyed all of his things, and you told him to read John. Have you heard anything from
him? No, I have not.
Not yet.
He never responded, but by the time we finished talking, he was very kind.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
How long ago was that? About seven years ago. Yes. Yes. Thank you for asking that, and you know, I did pray for him, because God loves him just as much. The Bible is great. It says he loved us while we were still dead in our sins. So he loved him just as much as he loved me. And I just hope he made that decision.
Other questions?
Did I intimidate everybody?
Yeah. There's got to be some hard questions out there now. Non-material entities.
Okay, non-material entities. We have a lot of them. The one I like to talk about is information. Information itself is non-material. It requires something material to hold it, like a repository to hold it, such it could be a book, could be a computer, could be the chemicals in DNA, but the information itself is non-material. How do we know that? Well, you can take a CD, a modern CD, blank CD, weigh it. Then you can take that same CD and put the entire encyclopedia on it and weigh it. They weigh exactly the same. Information has no mass or energy. So we can prove the existence of non-material. Also, the laws of logic are non-material. They're a concept that seemed to run this universe. So we do have non-material entities, and that's a very powerful piece there because it undermines the entire worldview of materialism. Great question. Yes, it actually comes down to a great proof. That's why I have it as one of the ones, a proof for the existence of God. Because here's another one. Something material cannot make something non-material. Whoa. So how can we come up with non-material things? That means we have to have a non-material component in order to do this. It's called our spirit. Thank you.
Any other questions that somebody may have? You know, like I've said here a number of times, the only difference between living entities, living organisms, and dead material is one thing: information. Where did that information come from? information can only come from an intelligent mind. Mm-hmm. It requires intelligence. Yep.
Random mutations have never created new information.
Well, if there's no more questions, again, thank you, Mike.
I'm going to escape then.
And, yeah. Well, they get the chance to ask questions
in
the back.
Yes, they can ask questions.
Mike will be at the table.